When you have owner operators that are focusing on earning money, they look at expenses as how do I cut expenses to earn extra money? And what happens is they typically cut the care team first.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. And I am your host, Javier Hinojo. And today I have Brandon Schwab. He's going to speak about senior living. This is the first time I have somebody speaking about senior living on the podcast. So I'm going to let him, in a couple of seconds, introduce himself, give a little background on where he got started. He's been doing this for about 8 years. And I was checking out his social media, and I want to ask him right off the bat, a boutique senior living, which is cool because you hear boutique hotels.
Yep.
So, you know, kind of give you a little hint there. I want to talk about boutique senior living because he had a webinar about that. But Brandon, go ahead and introduce yourself and welcome to the show.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me. I have been in the industry for 8 years. I got into it kind of by accident, actually. Back before this, I was able to wholesale homes for 2 years, and I built an entire portfolio of 23 homes for about 2 years after that. So I was investing into assets full-time for about 4 years. And I kind of thought I had everything kind of figured out. And what happened was I got exposed to a 5-bed home in Florida back in 2014. And I said, this is really cool. What is this? And what I figured out quickly was that that home with 5 people in it outperformed all 23 of the homes I had in our current portfolio 2 times per month.
Combined?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, what the hell am I doing in this other business? And I was like, in a thing that was crazy is back before that, I was exposed to how they care for the elderly in this country. And I had a terrible exposure to it. Like, I hated the industry. I didn't ever think I'd ever end up in, because I've been into the typical 100 to 200 type places that the odor's terrible, the atmosphere is terrible, and I hated it. And I got exposed to this cool concept. A thing that I found is folks that are older that have been in their own home for 20, 30, 40, 80 years, they tend to prefer to have an actual home atmosphere compared to a place that's 200,000 feet, right? So I opened up our first house in 2014. Fast forward to today, I've got 5 homes open, and I've got 2 homes that are opening by end of quarter three. And I've got 7.2 acres of land that we are going to build 6 homes on and 120 beds total. So we are trying to change the industry, because there are issues in how we care for the elderly today.
You know what? That's probably why this senior living never really grabbed my attention. And in my previous job, which actually I own a locksmith company, which my dad runs.
Really?
And that's what I did growing up as a kid. I did locksmith work. I have a locksmith license in North Carolina. I did that when I was in the military. I did that for a lot of years until I started real estate, and I just let my dad run it because he makes good money. I don't really care for it, but he makes good money. But I did have a contract with this big national company to go change all their locks, you know, all their lever handles on all their properties, just to make them like a storeroom function. Basically means you can only exit. Actually, you can't exit, period. Like, it was one of those, you can let people out. It was a big project all over North and South Carolina. And it took me about 3 months, and I drove to all these facilities, and I just felt every time I walked into this, I was working on a lock, and I had 8 people around me, like asking me questions, just wanted to know. I'm like, man, these people seem so lonely. So when you're saying, hey, I want to change this business or the concept of it, and I like the fact that I talked about boutique, and you just hit that right off the bat. So, and we'll talk about that shortly, but I was going to first check your shirt out because I couldn't see what it was. For a second there, I thought it was
Vanderbilt.
A shirt.
No.
I thought it was a Patriot shirt. I was about to just hang up the podcast because I just got my mail. I got my
Buffalo Bills card came in. Yeah,
a credit card. I just saw it here on my desk, and I was about to end the short, Brandon. So thank you for
coming. Get off the show, Brandon.
There you go. But anyway, so let's hit this. I want to back up a little bit, and I want to talk about you wholesale houses for a couple of years, and then you bought some rentals. So how did you get started in that wholesaling side?
Well, I got wholesaling. I bought a course from a guy down in Florida, and he taught me how to go do it. And he did it where I didn't have a whole ton of cash, and I would get things under contract, and then I would just have them up for sale. I was in a handful of investment clubs, and I did between 10 and 30 deals each year. And a thing that I figured out quickly is I had active income, because our average wholesale was $8,000 to $10,000. So I was earning awesome money, but I didn't have time. I was 80 hours per week. I was just grinding. And I had, our son was like 4 years old at the time, and he began playing baseball when he was 4 and a half. And I quickly figured out, like, I need to find something that I can do that I can have time. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have cash to have time to go, your kids are going to get old just like that. And it happens that quickly. So I quickly figured out that putting in 80 hours anymore just wasn't a thing that I could keep doing. So I quickly pivoted in 2012, actually, from doing deals. And then I kept buying deals for us to own. And then I built a portfolio of 23 homes. And I had a passive income of $5,400 when every person is able to have their thing taken care of on time. And I thought I was doing very good. I actually founded our own club of investors, and I had 110 people out each month, and I was out there teaching everyone how to go do it. I kind of felt like I had things figured out. When I went down to Florida, I had one eviction that was pretty bad. We had to go clean out the whole house. And when I got trained, I also went through the Fortune Builders training. Yeah. They didn't tell me about when you have to evict somebody that you have to carry out clothes. Like, this tenant's kid clogged all three toilets, where the finished basement backed up with like poop. And they didn't tell me that part up front, which I thought it was kind of odd, because after that experience, I was like, hey, I don't know if I'm actually a good person for this anymore. Like, that pushed me. And it was because when I came home that day, I was just tired and I was just covered in crap. And when I got home, like, our 4 and a half-year-old was like, hey, dad, let's go play catch. Like, innocent as innocent gets. And man, I was like, Jeffrey, not today. Yeah, but kids are kids, right? So they just keep pushing and pushing, dad. And I finally exploded on them. And it was at that pivot point that I figured out that I turned into a totally different person than I thought I was going to and aiming to be. And I quickly said, done with this. So I was at church on Sunday, just going there thinking, and that church pastor, I'm telling you, was only talking to us, like, to the heart. Just like piercing me. I don't think anyone else had to actually go, because he was just talking to me. And 30 days after that, I was down in Florida and I got exposed to this. And I said, you know, that one house with five people in it that isn't going to have the odor, that doesn't have people asking for help, outperformed all 23 homes that took me 4 years to come up with, right? Outperformed it 2 times per month. And I said, I have never been exposed to all of that. It turns out down in Florida, there's 1,800 of these homes, right? Out in California, there's 2,800. In Arizona, there's 3,000. Texas, there's 15,000. When I was able to go back home, there was 55. And wow. I said, holy cow. So are you telling me in this whole county of 308,000 people, there is zero? And I was like, yep. So I went to that club for investors and I put 23 homes up for sale. And everyone was like, ha ha, he's funny. Wait, hold on. I think he's serious. And I ended up being able to sell 22 of them. So that's how things got going.
So you live in Chicago, right? Chicago area? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right. So I want to back up a little bit, and you answered a couple of my questions. I was going to ask was, you had the 23 homes. I was going to ask you how long it took you. You just told us 4 years, and you were cash flowing net. You know, if everybody was paying on time, you know, $5,000, $6,000 a month.
Yep.
And then I'm sure in your mind, you ran these numbers over and over. Okay, I need 50 homes. I need 100 homes. I need 150 homes. What was that number for you? Do you remember what number that was you needed to have that would make you feel like maybe you're cash flowing 30 grand a month or whatever your goal was?
Yeah. So the passive income goal that I had was earning 10,000 each month, because I felt that I could have the time to go do other things. And I figure I needed, you know, like 40, 45 homes, because I was cash flowing, I don't know, $200 to $300 per house. So the cash flow of the homes that I was buying. I didn't have a ton of equity in them. So I had to have a whole ton of them, but I also had to have them for 15, 20 years. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you said, okay, maybe another 2 more years, I can buy another 17 houses, whatever. So you kind of had that numbers going, right? And then you come out and then you see this one house, you're like, holy crap, I'm going to make 10 grand already on a 5-bed or, you know, 5 people living in this house. And just you're like, why am I not doing this? Wait, well, right? That's kind of the.
Well, when I was down there was 5 people in there. And when I was in there, it was a different atmosphere of anything else I've ever been exposed to. Right. And I came back to, I was able to come back home and I said, 5 people's good if you're an owner operator. But I said, you know, I'm not really going to be a good person for taking care of anybody. So I need to hire good people. So I said, why don't I actually focus on 10 beds? So you can cover costs with like 5.5 people. So you're profiting on your final 4. So 3 people is great if you're the owner operator, but I quickly figured out that isn't me. I have to build this thing where it can, I am able to hire awesome people.
Okay. Yeah. So I was going to hit that with my next point. So one of the things you said, hey, I want to build this cash flow because I want to have my freedom, right? You're talking about your 4-year-old, how you just said, hey, you just kind of, and we all know, I tell everybody all the time, I see people on social media talk about, hey, work 9 to 5, turn my phone off at 5, weekends with the, I'm like, I've never met anybody who didn't have anything, who was grinding and working, only do that and make it. Like, hell no, I never met anybody yet. Now, when you make it, you know, hopefully you can restructure your life to where you bring on the right people and you're able to work 9 to 5, turn your phone off. But when you're trying to make it, if you don't get to it hard, somebody else is going to take it from you, right? So
yeah, for sure.
I've been there. I totally understand. I'm still there sometimes. Sometimes I still get, I mean, I love what I do. So sometimes I work too much. But one of the biggest things you said, talking about your 4-year-old, you wanted some time, and I just searched this up. There's this gentleman, I forget his name, but I think it's Rian. I don't recall his name, but it's called 18 Summers, right? And I met him a couple of years ago, and he told me about his program was called 18 Summers, basically saying you only have your kids for 18 summers. And as soon as he was telling me that, I mean, my eyes got watery. I wanted to cry right there because one of my sons were 17 already, you know, leaving the house, and I had a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old. I'm like, holy crap, that's all the time I have with my kids. And so when you said that, you know, your kids want to play ball, and it hit me, right? Hey, you know what? We only have basically kind of 18 summers with our kids. And what happens after that, right? You grind so much and you end up hurting the people you love because you're trying to build something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing that I think you have to do is I think you have to figure out how to have things going that you can have time to actually be as active as possible. I mean, now fast forward to today, I have coached his team for playing travel baseball for the last 7 years that I could not have done.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. If I had to put in 80 hours each week, I mean, I'm thankful. And this is a good thing that I put in time and effort up front, but I've had time. I probably could have expanded everything faster. I could probably have 20 to 30 homes today. But I chose to put time and effort first towards the time to be part of his team. So,
which brings me back to being able to travel, because I saw also on your LinkedIn that you do travel coaching. I was like, okay, great, real estate investor. You got to have passive income. Did travel? I did volleyball with my daughter. I done football. Yeah. I mean, it's just that time of traveling, hotels, and it's just a lot of time. Okay,
yeah,
and it's great if you can do it. So, talk to me about the workload, right? So, you know, managing 23 single family houses and then coming in and managing that one house, right? What kind of workload is, you know, how would you compare the two?
Well, when I got into this business, at first I had a ton of things that I needed to figure out up front. So it took me about 2 years to really kind of figure things out. And today now I have built an awesome team now that is able to handle the ops. And I pretty much handle expansion, capital, purchasing homes. I opened up our first fund back in February 2022. All of those things are the things that I put the time and effort into now, but I don't have to handle the ops anymore. When I opened up the company up front, I was putting in 40, 50 hours per week trying to figure everything out. But then I quickly figured out I just had to hire somebody that was able to get it. And I ended up finding a person as I was calling on a church pastor that introduced me to a gal who was in the healthcare industry for 38 years. And the two of us just clicked. So
That is awesome. Those connections like that, and then you find the right operator, somebody to do the operations for you, just frees up so much time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much time. You know,
tons it's just
like, wow, why? A lot of people think about it and like, you guys got to do this as soon as possible, because now it frees up your time to go do what you're good at, right? If you're good at raising your capital, you're good at finding deals, you make it rain and let somebody else, you know, operate it. And I'm sure you're still involved in that area, but you're not heavily involved as you used to be.
Well, I had a thing that happened this past year where I was trying to buy a portfolio of 7 homes and I had financing through the SBA, right? It was this awesome financing and they asked for an extra 30 days and the person that I was buying it from got an offer that was $1.5 million higher.
Oh my goodness.
And I learned an $85,000 that taught me that you need to have your cash prior to going out and putting in offers. Man, I was jacked. I was like, this financing was 10% down. It was 2.5% financing, 30-year term. It was cheap. And I didn't have any other options. So that deal would have 2x'd our whole company portfolio overnight. And I just didn't get it done. And the $85,000 cost me because our attorney had built up a bill of $125,000 that I was able to get. I was able to get that down to $85,000. But point being, that was a very costly opportunity.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, right? You have a fund, you're working on capital. So tell me how you structure these projects. Are you doing a syndication? You get some private investors? You join joint ventures? How do you structure these?
Yeah. So each home is owned in their own SOAT LLC. I did private just syndication for the first 7 years. And then I found out quickly that when I got exposed to a fund, that a fund could just turn properties over and over and over compared to each LLC that I had previously had to be taken care of on its own. So I chose to go from that concept to a fund because I was giving back capital to investors of over $8.2 million. And I wanted a vehicle that I could give them to put capital into that could just turn over and over and over. So I opened up a 506C, which is a Reg D.
D. Yeah.
506C. So okay. Our fund is $25 million that expands up to $50 million. With kind of how things are going today, I think we're going to actually probably expand it up to about $50 million just because there's going to be opportunities coming up that are going to be great. So we're pumped.
That is awesome. That is super cool. And then, so you know, how do you structure these for your investors, right? If somebody says, hey, I never looked, just hypothetical, kind of give me an idea. How do you structure these?
So our fund typically targets, I would say, family offices. That's who typically is going to fund all of our deals. A average family office has about $300 million total. They have about 200 of it out, and they typically have a third of it like in cash where they are looking to put up about 10 million plus, like 10 to 25. So I help them get IRRs that is a family office will typically target an IRR of 12 to 15%, but they are looking for an asset tied back behind it. So they are looking for the hard, tangible asset back behind there. And I offer the asset back behind it, but I also offer a healthcare as well put here to that is a awesome place for people. And plus the last 2008 crash, this was the top performing asset class from 2005 through 2015. Because when things got tight, the people that have to have help, they are going to have help, right? And it's older funds that are able to take care of things.
So with your fund, you go out and buy the property just all cash, or are you still getting a loan?
No, we will actually purchase it for cash up front.
Okay.
And once I close on it, I order the takeout financing on it, which takes about so like 90 days to 120 days. And then we pay back our fund. So our fund just keeps churning that capital over and over.
Super cool.
Over a course of 5 years, I can take $25 million and I can buy 120 homes.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is great.
With only the upfront $25
million. Yeah, that is cool because you can keep cycling it back in. That's a great model. I definitely like it.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about COVID. Right. So how did you guys do during COVID?
So COVID was interesting. So we didn't get our first COVID case until December 23rd, 2020. So
wow, that's good. That's like a year in.
We were doing pretty good. And so honestly, I kind of thought I had things like figured out. I was like, hey, things are going really good. Our occupancies were high. Our cost to operate also was pretty high too. So we did not profit as much in 2020 as we have the 5 years back before that. But all of us came out of that fine. We did have COVID at the end of 2020. We came back in 2021 and we expanded from 3 homes to 5 homes in early 2022 here. I did buy some dirt in Huntley that we did not build all the homes on just because COVID kind of pushed everything back. I think the cost to build has gone up over 30%. I mean, that took it from $15.5 million to $25 million. Big difference. So we kind of put that on hold and are focusing on finding good properties, turn them into this purpose. But then also we are looking for other operators that so maybe got their things kicked during COVID that things didn't turn out that good. We do these calls because I am also looking for operators that would be interested to exit too. So if they are in our area, we are absolutely interested. And then after I have 30 homes here, then I'm going to go elsewhere and just keep doing it over and over.
So right now you're just focused in the Chicago area?
Chicago area. I do have one house on the East Coast that I bought 5 days before. We closed on this property December 18th, 2020. I got COVID 5 days later. Not great timing, but we bought the property for $700,000. I put it up on the MLS and we just got an offer for $1.8 million.
So, oh, wow, that's good.
We did okay. But a thing that I am challenged is if I operate that property, that thing would be worth $4.2 million to $5.4 million. So, do I take the upfront quick cash or do I follow through and get it up and operational?
Those are great problems to have, by the way.
Thank you.
Great problems to have. All right. So my next question is, I want to talk about the kind of large senior living, right? Tell me the good and the bad of that, and then, or the pros and cons, and then kind of talk about the boutique, right? If there's any pros or any cons to that, kind of compare the two.
Yeah. So if you compare, which I think when you compare these two, like, I kind of feel like it's a good comparison of like, the taxi, think about the taxi cab industry, right? The taxi cab industry was very ancient, right? They didn't do anything different for 20, 30, 40 years because they owned it, right? They didn't have to. In order to call one, you used to go like this, taxi, taxi. That's ancient, right? That's kind of how things are, how they care for the elderly today. They build these big, giant buildings, 100 to 200 beds. The average footage is like 200,000 feet, right? So do you think they were able to have those things built with the person in mind? Or do you think they were just trying to cram a ton of them in there just to print cash?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, make money.
Right. So what happens is when you have owner operators that are focusing on earning money, they look at expenses as how do I cut expenses to earn extra money? And what happens is they typically cut the care team first because that is your highest cost in all of our homes. We pay our caregivers 35% of everything coming in. Like, that's a huge item, right? That's expensive. They cut them. And what happens is the traditional taxi industry is the caregiver cares for 20 to 30 people. Now, could you honestly care for 20 people properly when everyone had to have help change all of that? Probably not, right?
It's going to be a challenge, yeah.
Right. What do you think the odor is going to cause from? Because people don't get changed. So they just sit in it and sit in it for hours. That's disgusting. But because the owners of it aren't in there, they are fine with it, right? Compared to our homes, which our homes are cozy homes. They are 10 people to about 20 people per home compared to 100 to 200, right? But they are cozy homes where the care team has to care for 5 to 8 people each. Which one do you think can offer awesome care?
Oh, for sure. Like a public school, private school.
Yeah, bingo, bingo. And then a thing that I do that's a tad bit different is I can use technology. So like how Uber changed the whole industry. they figured out how to offer transportation, but to use a app on our phones to just do it easier and take care of it. We are doing that for our industry to use technology. I've got about four pieces that I'm able to use. Our top one is that we have a little Bluetooth thing that is going to clip on the front of each person that is in our house that has a thing that is able to go in that's going to text an iPad when anyone needs to be changed. I personally, if I was able to have a accident, right? I don't know if I would tell anybody. I would just sit in it because I would feel terrible that I could not control that. This app here, these girls are going to come over to help me, and they are able to take me to have things changed before I have to be in it for 2, 3, 4 hours. That's a piece of to use technology to offer awesome care. And it also keeps that kind of ugly odor out too. When you choose between those two options, people that are in our homes come here because they are used to being in a home, right? Compared to a big giant college apartment, really, with 200 elderly that at the end of the day, they really don't come out of their own place because they either don't have any clue how to get to it afterwards because there's these giant hallways, right? Now, just picture if you're 80, 85 years old, and if you had to figure out how to get back to your room when you kind of aren't that clear with everything, that's a pretty tough thing to do, right? I think the overall difference is those places just have a different atmosphere where as you're in a home like this, it's a totally different home-like atmosphere that is very cozy. And if you can coin what we do, I would say what would best describe us would be like one giant family atmosphere. That atmosphere of family is found because the care team doesn't have to care for 20 to 30 people. They are only taking care of 5 to 8. Totally different than I think the other atmosphere, right?
Yep. So I have somebody in my mastermind who does sober living houses or even houses for like battered women or LGBT, homes, and they do them. They make it a community, right? They have a great kind of manager of the house, and it's like a community, and they have really high standards. It's not like your regular sober living where everything's trash, right? They'll live in a nice neighborhood,
right?
Good furniture, just make it a good environment for success, right? So a lot of you talking a lot about it's just different, right? You do it for senior living. So that is very cool. All right, Brandon. So we're kind of towards the end of the show. And before I let you go, is there anything else that you'd like to add to the listeners out there? Maybe you got a website or you do some webinars or et cetera. I mean, what do you, website, social media?
If anyone is interested in contacting us for any, either to invest or to answer any questions, I would call our office. Our office phone number is 847-380-8624. That's probably the easiest. As far as a website, I'll actually chat it over to you. It is boutiquesenierlivingfund.com. And I will chat it over to you. So
awesome. Boutiquesenierlivingfund.com. That's great. Brandon, this brings me to my favorite part of the show. And during our show, my Wi-Fi went out in my house. So now I'm on my cell phone. So I'm just got to project my screen here from my laptop, and I'm bringing up the Naked Truth Roulette, which I'm going to ask you 3 random questions. Let me know if you can hear this.
Yes, I can hear that.
You heard the clapping?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. I have a cool setup. I was able to do my phone. So here we go. It's just 3 random questions. Got nothing to do with real estate. Just 3 random questions for you. Here we go. Let's go. First question is, how do you feel about putting pineapple on your pizza?
It is good. It is good if you have it with barbecue sauce.
With barbecue sauce. So I just got back from a 30-day vacation in Europe, and the last stop for 7 days was Italy. Okay. And the night before we left, we were going to order some takeaway. It's not takeout; they call it takeaway. And we just called the place, and in the fine print it said, "We do not put any fruits on our pizza that is not Italian. So don't ask us to. Like, what? Come on, just throw some pineapple on there. You know, anyway, I thought about just calling and asking, just I want strawberries, pineapple, just nothing but fruits.
Oh, anyways, man. They'd be pissed.
Probably. They probably would be. They probably would be pissed. All right. So here goes. Second question for Brandon. If you could take any celebrity on a date, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, geez. You're going to get me in trouble.
I get myself in trouble all the time. So
I would say Megan Fox.
Oh, yeah. Good choice. Megan Fox, for sure.
She's fine.
Yes. There you go. Awesome. Good answer. All right. Good. Last question for Brandon. I put that question in here like four times. So sometimes it comes up plenty of times. All right, here we go. Last question for you. Okay, perfect. Great, great question. I love this question. There is a zombie apocalypse. What three famous people would you want on your team?
Dead or alive?
Dead or alive, yep.
Chris, Kyle, first of all. Jesus.
There you go.
And maybe, I don't know, my father. Yeah.
Cool. Your dad, Jesus, and Chris Kyle.
Chris Kyle. Because Chris awesome. Will take care of all of them out there.
Hey, so nobody's ever said Jesus before. So that's actually, you know, that's a first for the show.
All right. Well, here we Brandon, go.
Thank first. You so much for answering these questions, being a good sport, and surviving the Make the Truth Roulette.
All right, awesome. Buddy. Well, thank you very much so nice. For all of your time.
Yeah, it was nice having you. And thanks for being on the show. Everybody out there, guys, remember, sing your living, make your product stand out. Any questions about boutiques in your living, reach out to Brandon as well. Thank you so much for your time. I'm your host, Javier. Don't lose your shirt. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback, not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's really cool. Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.